Welcome to the Jazz Funeral School Podcast, episode number 129.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. Obviously, I am Brendan Lowe, host. Thank you so much for being here. This is going to be episode number 129. Now, obviously, if you didn't check out last week's episode, we're kind of changing up the content. We're changing up the podcast a little bit. So if you're listening on iTunes, welcome. I'm going to be doing a little bit more talking here. If you just want the pure kind of raw content of this episode in the video format, you can go to our YouTube channel. I have a couple of what's the right word? A couple of favors to ask of you guys. Really trying to expand our free content, reach more people. And a lot of people say they love it. And, it's really, really helped them. We have so many podcast lessons that are actually like, these are legit lessons, obviously. If you can share the lessons on YouTube, that would be fantastic. If you can subscribe to our channel, that would be absolutely awesome. And if you've done these things already, thank you so much. I really appreciate your support. But again, we're trying to build up our YouTube views. We're trying to get, YouTube's a whole different beast, right? If you ever go into a kind of sort of online business, you know, YouTube is a whole different beast. It's like a search engine. So the content I've realized, and you know, we listen to strategies to try and reach more people, obviously. But I've realized, and I've, listened to this podcast where I listen to podcasts too all the time, right? I'm always trying to learn new stuff. But I listen to this podcast where they're like, you know, you can't just post the titles of the YouTube videos of your podcast, right? So up until this point, we've just been posting like, you know, podcast 26 and blah, 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 like, or podcast 27. I was like, oh, cool, that should work on YouTube. But obviously, when you go on YouTube, you see these videos that are like have hundreds of thousands of views, and so many people have written in, which is quite funny, and been like, man, your podcasts are so rocking, like they're you're killing it, like they're awesome, I love it so much. But you only got like a couple thousand views, man. It's like, they're like, I don't understand why you don't have more views on this. So up until this point, I've wondered the same thing. I'm like, man, why do these people have so many freaking, like, we're putting all of this production into our videos and things like that, and then these people with like no production, just like taking an iPhone and filming their hands, have like 300,000 views. It's like, what the heck, man? You're like, obviously I can't help but feel a little, you know, disappointed and kind of like, let down, or I don't know the right word. I'm just disappointed, kind of like, man, I wish my videos, I want to reach that many people too, have that many views on YouTube. So what we figured out is obviously the title, the way you title the video, people go on YouTube to search things, right? On podcasts and stuff, you're not using it like a search engine. Like, you are literally just kind of exploring a podcast. But when you go to YouTube, it's like how to play jazz piano lick, how to play Oscar Peterson chord, how to play, you know, they're looking. And so they're not typing in like podcast 25 or like, you know, so we have to change up the whole strategy of the way we're kind of producing content. But what I've learned too, what helps is getting more subscribers. When you guys share, when you guys comment, engage on the video, that's super awesome. And it helps boost the playing time of the videos and how YouTube actually rates our videos. And that way, when you do that, when you engage, share, subscribe, it actually gets our videos ranked higher in YouTube. So the more you can do that, the more they're going to be seen by other people. So I'd really, really appreciate it if you guys do that. And if you just love the video, just say, hey, I love the video, or like it, you know, on YouTube. You don't even have to say much. Be like, this is awesome. That's it. On the iTunes podcast, if you want to help out, feel free to go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, even leave type a review. You can type a review. We have a lot of 5-star ratings, which is awesome. I want to get to 200. My next goal is 200. I should say our next goal is 200, the JPS community. But anyway, that's what we're doing with content. So again, if you just want the raw, unfiltered content without all this talking, like I'm not putting all this talking on the YouTube videos anymore, obviously. And I did that in the beginning when I was a noob, fresh into the online business world, and people were like, man, you're talking way too much. And I get it. I get it now, right? Podcasting is for talking. YouTube is for like, here's the stuff. Here's the material. It's like, you want a lick? Boom. You want a chord? Boom. It's like, you just watch the video. And people love that on YouTube. When you just give them exactly what they want within the first 20 seconds or so, it's like, okay, your videos are awesome. So that's what we're going to be doing for YouTube. And again, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, get all the videos sent directly to you. We're going to have the lick of the week coming every single Monday. We're going to have podcasts now coming every single Wednesday. And we're going to have our blog posts published, not every Friday, but we'll probably have 2 to 3 blog posts a month. And again, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com for all that free content. It's all free. It's completely free. And obviously, if you're looking for more information on the courses and things like that, we have for offer our main course curriculum, which is all sequential. Go to jazzpianoschool.com, our lab area, our specialty courses, blah, 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 all that good stuff. So in this, wow, that was a lot of talking, but that's what the podcast is for. In this video, I'm going to be going over how to improve your blues scale. I actually forget the title I came up with. How to quickly improve your blues scale so you don't sound like a beginner with your blues scale, okay? And that's exactly what I'm going to be going over this. So with that being said, thank you guys all so much for being here, and let's dive right into this. All right, so what you're going to do to improve your blues scale, everyone plays the blues scale the same, right? So we have... Now, the thing that people have trouble with is when you first start playing, you sound like this. All right, you get the picture, and you're probably like, how do I sound better? Even if you sound a little bit better than that. These are going to be two tips that you can instantly use to start improving your blues scale, okay? The first thing, well, let's throw in a third tip. I'm going to throw in a third tip, okay? Free of charge. So, the three tips, all right? The first thing you want to do is you do not want to play in succession, the blues scale in succession, all right? So, when I'm going back and forth and up and down like this, right, it's creating just a very kind of bland feeling. You want to create jumps. You want to jump registers. You want to create different patterns, right? You're looking for patterns. So maybe I do this. Now, already you're probably like, wow, that's like 10 times better, isn't it? Like instantly, it's like 10 times better, right? And I can switch it up. Maybe I'll do this. Now, I'm making huge jumps here to obviously give you guys like a very, very, distinguishable example that is happening here so that you're not kind of moving up and down the blues scale every single time. And obviously, this is for beginners, right? I'm going to get into the more advanced tips in a second. But just put those jumps in there, and it doesn't have to be much. Like, you can jump one note. And already it's starting to come together and actually sound like an improv solo. Obviously, you know, there's more room for improvement, but instantly you're going to get a better feeling of like, oh man, I can actually use this scale and start to improvise with it and not have it sound like it sucks, right? You don't want to have that. And so just moving up and down the blues scale is, I shouldn't say that word, but just it's not going to sound great, right? You're going to sound like a beginner player, and that's the, obviously all of us are striving to get somewhere. All right, so tip number two. You need to add in rhythms. So many people start with the blues scale. They start with the eighth notes, right? So one and two and three and four, and I'm combining both errors right here in one. I'm going moving up and down sequentially and all eighth notes. Right? There's no breaks, there's no pauses, and even if there is a pause, right? It's not much, okay? So we really want to focus on adding those rhythmic values, okay? And you can have a list. I'd highly recommend you have a list of values that are in front of you, you know, like of rhythmic values. So you have your quarter notes, you have your eighth notes, you have your triplets, you have dotted quarter notes, you have 16th notes, okay? All of those values you want to be using, not to mention space, right? And rests. Rests are values as well. So you don't need to think of all the values of rest, but you can think of quarter note rest, eighth note rest, and just leave it at that. Or you can see, you can think of short amounts of rest or long amounts of rest. So let me just kind of apply some of the rhythmic values now. Thank you. right? And again, by adding that rhythmic value to your solo, again, it's creating kind of movement, it's creating contrast, it's creating areas for you to develop your solo, because then you can start to build motifs off the rhythmic values you are now adding. So please work on using exact rhythmic values in your playing. And again, you can get this in the practice exercises if you go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast129. They'll have all these exercises listed out for you. Take your chord notes. Right, you're just practicing chord notes, then you're practicing eighth notes, but they're not strung together. Right, you're with rests and things like that. Then you practice triplets maybe. And then you start to splice them together within the rests, okay? So you need to have rhythmic value in order to start, you know, sounding professional with your blues scale solo. And again, mixed with the first tip that I give you about not moving sequential, making some jumps in there, it's going to instantly start to allow you to achieve a better blues scale sound. Okay, now the last tip I'm going to show you. Now, so many people learn the blues scale, they learn this. Okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave one note, just one note out. I'm going to leave one note out of the scale, and that's going to be the sharp four. So I'm going to play this. Okay, now this, by leaving this one note out, you're actually getting a completely different sound, and I love this sound. I actually learned it from my previous teacher, Eric Reed, who played with Wynton Marsalis a lot. He's got so many amazing albums. Go check him out. He's got an amazing church blues jazz piano sound and feel that I absolutely love, and he would use this a lot on a lot of his earlier albums, and he still does. Now, by removing this one sharp four, you're getting a sound that sounds like this. It's kind of more or less like a pentatonic scale. You don't have the two in there, right? So you have one, three, flat three, four, five, flat seven. But this is going to give you a different blues sound than adding this sharp four in, so check it out. Oops, sorry, I went to that by accident. And again, going forward, so on. So basically, using that scale, utilizing the removal of that note is going to give you a completely different sound. And again, if I put that into a more real life demonstration of what it's going to sound like, let me just flip my pedal over here. And it does give you that kind of pentatonic-ish feeling, right? And it could be thought of, you know, as a kind of an E-flat pentatonic scale over the C, C, right? So it is an E-flat pentatonic scale, right? But you're just using that over C. I don't want to start you by thinking about it. I mean, you can start off by thinking about it as an E-flat pentatonic scale. But again, I want you to really understand the qualities of the blues scale it's going to give you when you're using it in the key of C, right? Because otherwise, you might think of this as 1, 2, 3, when that, in actuality, that's not how it relates to the key center, right? So this is going to be 1, flat 3, 4, 5. Flat 7 and 1 again. Okay, so those are the three tips. I hope you guys enjoyed that, and check out the next podcast. We're going to be coming out and producing podcasts every single week, and I'll see you in the next video. Happy practicing, and as always, enjoy the rest of your day. Take care.